Shake salt. That's all I could.
Hey, you know the next line to that song. Y'all don't, because y'all know we were singing, but we're always laughing and coming in halfway in the middle, so you know who it is. It's Afro Movie Review, the podcast. What was that face, babe? What happened?
I was looking at the media. They didn't change it up. It looks really weird now.
You were so funny, babe. So Keek does all of our behind the scenes works. Like, we don't have a producer. We don't have anybody that helps us with editing or anything like that. So all of the work that you get with us being, for you to be able to hear us, is Keek's. That's babe. So give it up. Yay. And you got us air horns, my tech baby.
I think it had an upgrade. I think it's the platform. But anyway, because we're not talking about them, because it's about us right now. Welcome back to Afro Movie Review, the podcast. Yes. The voice you're hearing right now with the AMS, our tone is Keeks.
Yes, over there drinking tea and looking sexy.
Their pronouns, Afro Movie Review, are your favorite trans podcaster.
Yeah. And the voice you're hearing is Mo, she, her pronouns, Afro Movie Reviewer, the Chocolate Chip Podcaster.
Yes.
Welcome my baby. Back, y'all. This is season 6, episode 66.
Oh. Yeah, stop it.
I'm cracking up because this was not even planned like this. But when I tell you, when I looked at the movie, of course, I looked at the synopsis afterwards, right? Finished the movie and was like, bruh, what the fuck? And then when I realized the number, I said, oh, okay. Because we moved things around. We took some movies out. We put some movies in. This movie, I don't even think was supposed to be this episode. It ended up being this episode. So,
yeah, I didn't
some like synchronicity. The movie of the episode is Hereditary. It's the year of our Lord, 2018.
Was that a good year? I can't remember.
We about to get into the history reel, so we'll find out. Let's do a rock, paper, scissors on air since we haven't done it in a while.
Yeah.
Okay.
You want to call it?
I'll call it.
All right.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot, gay, rock, scissors, shoot. What? Matchy twinsies. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Oh, you beat me. I just knew you was going to throw rock. Why wouldn't you?
I thought you were going to throw a rock. So I was like, oh, let me go ahead and lose.
You didn't want to win? You didn't want to win today? It's a not today.
I was like, no. My facts aren't even, they're like very short and concise. We're going to go from good to bad and then back to good. So June 19th, Canada becomes the first country to legalize cannabis for recreational use.
Shout out to them.
They are the second country after Uruguay to formally legalize the cultivation, possession, acquisition, and consumption of cannabis. So it is legalized for medicinal and recreational use. Yeah, that's all I got, because I'm like, decriminalize drugs.
That's it.
All the suffering in the world right now, like, please let people
get high.
Not like that, but you know.
Because in this movie, my God.
I did not like this movie at all.
Okay. So I'm going to start bad so that I can go lighter. And then it goes like bad. It's like, bah, 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 bah. All right. So it's a good way.
Okay.
It's a good way. January 11th, U.S. President Donald Trump causes worldwide controversy when it is reported that he called African countries shitholes during an immigration meeting. That's all I got. I just want to remind y'all who he is.
The way I forget, like,
how bad he was.
No, like that whole period of when he was president, I'm like, oh yeah, he was president in 2018 because we elected him in 2016. Oh God, y'all did.
I like to call that time the year of y'all elected this motherfucker. That was, I didn't pick him. But I do want to remind people, because like you said, there's been so much that's happened post. It's kind of gotten like, you know, he was horrible. Let's remember.
Awful.
Yeah.
Let me go. I said I was going to go bad. Okay. November 28th, Chinese scientist He Jianqi at a public conference in Hong Kong announces that he has altered the DNA of twin human girls born earlier in the month. So he, right? Why is you doing that? You don't have to do that. So he inactivated a gene called CCR5 in the babies, which is one of the receptors that HIV uses to enter to target immune cells. The gene was edited and then it was inserted into one of the eight couples. And with two viable pregnancies, one of the children was born with the CCR5 inactivation is under close monitoring. Wow. But when I tell you the scientific community went against this dude, because he didn't discuss it with them beforehand. He just did the experiment and then came out with it and was like, well, this is what I did. Look, like, how dare you? Better ask for
forgiveness than permission.
The Chinese scientists entered a joint statement saying his work is unethical and an insane blow to the global reputation and development of Chinese science. He was fired from his job and sentenced to 3 years in prison and a $434,000 in American USD fine. And there was a little bit of news that said that the Chinese government may have funded this baby making experiment in parts. It's like, babe, I don't put it against any government.
That's it. All of y'all are capable.
But I'm just like, damn, like,
wow.
You don't know the future ramifications of that. Like, what if she gets sick? Because you sat there and deleted something.
Yeah. Wow. I'm actually, it's so fun when we're on the same page, because my second fact. May 14th, Chinese mountain climber and double amputee Xia Boyu reaches the summit of Mount Everest. Only thing I got to add to that is, girl, go the fuck off.
Like,
what the fuck? I didn't look into why this person was, if they were born a double amputee, if they became a double amputee. I'm not even looking at it as like, this is a motivational story, because go off, because you made it to Mount Everest. A lot of people don't. But secondly, why?
Because I ain't doing it.
You know how many people have died going to Mount Everest? Why did you need to do all that? Because you are a mountain climber and that's the mountain to go to, right? I feel it, but that's what I said. First, go the fuck off. Secondly, the realest part of me was like, oh.
Because, I mean, baby, if you like it, I love it. Look, I can't argue with you.
I'm not even going to try, baby. When we try to do the mountains that are in Georgia, I'd be huffing and puffing. They are horrible. The one time I went someplace and tried to climb a mountain, do you know that humidity beat my ass? And I thought I had trained because I had done Stone Mountain. Do you know what the other mountains are like? No joke. Go off. But why? Like, you know, maybe we should just observe them, paint them like Bob Ross.
Because not for me, but thank you. But, and also congratulations, because that's why
and made it back. So, you know, go off. You've
done what very few people have done. So,
name in the history books.
My last fact is June 24th, Saudi Arabia allows women to drive, and I was like, excuse me.
And they've been busting donuts ever since. Have you seen the Saudi Arabian women drivers?
No, but you got me fucked up. Amen. Apparently, this has been since 1957 that ban was pronounced on women driving. And there's been protests throughout. Like, there was a 1980 protest, a 2008, 2009 protest, a campaign from 2011-2014. But I was like, I'm all for passenger princesses, but also don't take away my choice.
Don't take away my choice. Literally, I think it was probably with me watching No Reservations, because shout out to Anthony Bourdain. Palestinian women drivers, racers, like off-roaders, like these driving ass women. Okay. Mm-hmm. So the fact that Saudi Arabia did this in 2018, whatever footage, like driving for real used to be like, oh, but they was hitting donuts. Like,
I would yo, too.
Tristan, they are drivers. It's so fun to see that footage. It really is. There are some driving ass women in some of these countries that you're like, boy, and they driving stick shifts. They shitting on a lot of people.
They got it. Cause that man, you'll be my ass every time.
Listen, it's not my preferred, but you got to know how to get the fuck up out of some places.
You know what?
That's my logic.
That's fair.
As a man, as a man, if you are conditioned as a man, maybe you don't need to know how to drive a stick because you should stay and fight. But for me, myself,
I'm not fighting.
Maybe it's time for me to go. I need to know how to get the fuck up out of there. I'm gonna learn how to drive a stick. Like that was my dad was like, you always need to know how to get the fuck up out of some place. So he's talking to my sister how to drive a stick. But you know,
did he teach you how to drive a motorcycle too?
No, but he put us on the back of one all the time.
Okay, so you know,
I'm not gonna say all the time, but often enough for us to be like, this is no longer a scooter. This is a big, like, you know.
Okay.
We had experiences. A broken clock can strike right twice, you know? Why is it balloons? Would it?
You and your emojis. I get so jealous.
The iPad be doing, I don't even know what this was. Why did it give me this time? Okay. Oh, you want to see what my friend taught me? Are you ready? Because y'all can't see this, but wait, why are you giving balloons?
I love that. It is a light show. Oh my gosh.
If you did it on your iPhone, it would do the same thing. It really would. It's just
we're going to have to, after this is over, like FaceTime and just be like.
This is so fun. Okay. So that was your third fact?
Yeah.
Okay. So my third and final fact is a little bit long, but it's because I want to give out shout outs. So May 16, 2018, the painting Pastimes by Kerry James Marshalls is bought by Diddy. For $21.1 million, this is the most paid for a living African-American artist. We are not shouting out Diddy, we're shouting out the artist. So, the artist. He is currently 68 years old from Birmingham, Alabama. This painting, Pastimes, was done in 1997. His other works include Portrait of the Artist as Shadow of His Former Self. That was in 1980. And since 2019, it has been in the Los Angeles County Museum of Modern Art. He also has Voyager that was made in 1992 or finished and, you know, displayed in 1992. It's currently at the National Gallery of Art. He has Black Beauty Untitled, La Venus Negra, which was presented in 1992, and Untitled, which is also called Supermodel, that was presented in 1994. That's at the Honolulu Museum of Art. Mm-hmm. He has the Lost Boy series, which is from 1993 to 1995. It is the most famous of his works. I could not see where that was displayed. I think that means it is probably a traveling display, which would be awesome to be able to catch it. He also has the Garden Project series, which was on display at the Chicago Art Institute. He has Many Mansions. That was in 1994. I couldn't see where that was. And the Souvenir series, which was finished and displayed in 1998. And I couldn't find where that one is either. He began figure drawing at, under a mentorship of a social realist painter named Charles White, also a Black man. Very awesome. And he was the product designer on Daughters of the Dust for 1991. And that's very awesome because that's in our next season.
Yes, so excited.
How fun is that, right? So in 2022, he was elected honorary Royal Academician. It's called an honra. That's very cool. He's still alive. Okay. He's getting booze. He's getting flowers. And this is a show where we like to give awesome Black people flowers. So shout out to you, Mr. Kerry James Marshall. We absolutely recognize you and hope that that money is giving you the ability to produce even more beautiful art. Because we got sound effects now. So funny. All right, y'all. So that was the history reel. Let's get into it. Keeks, what do your lenses look like for the season?
My lenses for the season is in solidarity with the silent genocide going on in Congo. It is the green square on one lens with a yellow nose band and then a green triangle with a yellow nose bridge and then a red triangle with the freedom fist hanging from the legs of the glasses. What do your lenses look like?
My lenses are the psychedelic watermelons that are representing Sudan and Palestine, because we got a lot going on in both places. Mm-hmm. We have the left leg, which I'm sorry because I'm doing too much at the same time. The whole thing just like it closed on me a little bit and I was like, wait, what are you doing? Okay, so we have our left leg, which is blue and yellow for the Congo, the right leg that is green and yellow for Tigray. So this season, our plug is solidarity to the people, freedom to all oppressed people all around the world.
You're here.
All right. So let's get into the movie Hereditary 2018 for this season 6, episode 66.
Now, why did you have me watch this shit?
I am so sorry. Of course, this is another A24 movie. This is also brought to us by Palm Star Media. This is when A24 was coming up in their money a little bit, and you can tell, you can see it. I wasn't meant to laugh. There was a couple of times that I laughed, but baby, when I tell you, I didn't know what we were getting into either. I did not.
Not this Ari is the prize Aster, for the both of us.
Ari Aster is the director. Is he okay?
No, obviously.
Okay, because you know what else he's known for? The Strange Thing About the Johnsons.
I have heard about that movie. I have yet to see that movie because it's like a huge trigger warning.
I thought that movie was a very B movie. I'm not gonna name which one of the platforms would give it to you, but winka winka, because we had given them some nods before. But these niggas are funny. Tubi. I would just say it. I thought it was a Tubi type film, right? But it's literally like this black family where like the dad and son are like the son's like infatuated with the dad. I don't know what's happening. It's weird. I saw a clip of it on Twitter and I thought that it was like, I thought it was fake. I'm not gonna lie. Ari Aster made it. It's real.
I don't think I want to watch any more of his movies.
Should we put it in delivery lead out of pocket?
I don't know if I am ready for that.
I think if I sought it out and watched more than just a couple of minutes, I think I stopped it. I couldn't have watched no more than like 13. It's uncomfortable. And had I known that this director did that, he also did Midsommar, which I haven't seen, but I've heard a lot about people saying they were also like taken aback by his like, had I known what we were getting into, maybe I would have picked a different one, but it fit for season 6, episode 60.
It was interesting. It was...
Get a Christians what they want.
Honestly, it was better than some of the movies in our like horror thriller season.
This was better than some of... Baby, like, you know I'll what? Everybody wants to be Rosemary's Baby.
And you can't. Honestly,
knock them out. Baby wasn't even knock them out.
Like, we talked about that, though.
Exactly. Slide them out the park. I wouldn't even be mad with this specific movie replacing Rosemary's Baby as, like, the cult classic that people run to. Because it was disturbing.
It was... Maybe keep that in the vault in your mind.
I don't know when I would ever watch this again. That's how disturbing it was.
I would have to forget that I watched this and then be like, oh fuck, I remember this. I'm not watching this.
The whole time. So the movie synopsis is, after the death of her mentally ill mother, a woman and her family uncover their evil lineage. When I saw that, I saw it after watch, right? And I was like, that don't even give you enough of what you're about to get into, my dog.
It does not.
Wild time. what did you rank this movie?
I gave it a 7 out of 10.
Look it, you're not bad. You're not like a bad babe. I gave it an 8 out of 10.
Okay, because I'm like.
You know us. So that's a 7.5 out of 10 for us. IMDb gave this a 7.3 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes gave it a 9, a 90. I'm sorry. So we
Okay.
aren't off. I think that, and you know, of course, that's the critic score. I think that if we were to
Right.
look at user submitted,
Then
we
that
probably
would be
would be
very
more
different.
accurate. Here, let's see. Do you want to incorporate that, looking at the user submitted from Rotten Tomatoes?
I need to know who their users are. Because
I
I
think
it's
this
a
is
specific demographic, I feel like.
absolutely, and
So.
oh, see, it's going down in popularity. But it says 408. I don't know what that means. See, this is why we maybe shouldn't look at that, because what the fuck y'all talking about? Anyway, so yeah, I think it's interesting because if we were to submit more, we would be a part of the demographic that would be user submitted, and we have on some of them. We did them for the first couple of seasons, but maybe we'll get back into it. That's just time consuming. What were your categories?
I have unsettling. I have damn, y'all dysfunctional. Maybe fix that first. Have oh fuck no, and that's like my scary category because what the fuck was this? I have now ma'am, and that includes the son. Now ma'am.
Gender inclusive.
I have LOL. I have bitch, call an exorcist. I have all right, Eva Matilda, and then I have usual tropes.
You are me, and I am you. I have motherfucking five categories.
Just
Okay.
look.
I have girl in all caps with a question mark slash what the fuck in all caps,
Ooh.
WTF. I have nope, straight like that. I have damn.
That's all you can say sometimes. Like, what was this?
Wee. I have OMFNG. Because multiple times I was just like, oh my fucking God. Like multiple times I said that. I think part of the reason that that became an acronym for people to use in popular times is me. Because when I was young, Californians love saying that shit. Oh my fucking God. Like, bitch, I was beshooked, shot. I was rocked. I was not prepared.
I'm
And
done,
then I
even
have,
in the California accent.
oh my fucking God. Clutch your skateboard. Oh my fucking
Oh,
God. And then I have LOL because there were funny parts of this damn movie.
I had to laugh because I was gonna fight.
Baby, when, okay, so from jump, so Toni Collette plays Annie. And of course, we love Toni Collette. She's a motherfucking beast. She's been everywhere. I really want her to come back and finish United States of Terror because it finished out of nowhere. And if you can do this, Miss Toni Collette, if you can do the staircase, Miss Toni, you can finish United States of Terror. But people who have worked with her on other sets said that she really loses herself in her characters. And so she said that United States of Terror was like an uncomfortable time for her. It's been years now. It ended in 2011. We are in 2023, about to be in 2024. Girl, come on, bring it back. Challenge yourself. As long as it's not going to bring you into bad space. If it's too bad of a space, then say fuck me and keep it moving because these other roles are awesome.
I'm about to say, because she really doesn't need it. She's just so accomplished by herself,
She
especially
is. This
for.
is the mama from Sixth Sense. Dog, did you know she was Australian?
Yes.
You knew that?
After I looked her up.
After the Sixth Sense, I think anytime I pull her up, I'll be like, dog, you are Australian.
She doesn't have the accent.
Maybe she does, but she is accent queen. Because in the Sixth Sense, she was heavy Jersey, like Eastern Shore, whatever. This one here, where was this based? They gave the obituary at the beginning, but I read it, but I didn't remember where it's based.
I want to say the Midwest because I don't even remember.
It was mountainous.
I did see that obituary at the beginning, but I thought I was like
Maybe
this.
like Arizona, New Mexico. I don't know.
Washington. I don't know.
Okay, I don't know. But that was okay. And then we have Alex Wolf, who plays Peter. Is he okay? This was a lot. Is Millie Shapiro okay? She plays Charlie.
She played the fuck out of that role, though. Even Matilda, girl. I thought it was all her at first. Because, you know, not Annabelle, but the one where it's a small person and they think that they're...
Orphan?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I was like, oh, okay, we got another one of those. Like, no.
So in this, I haven't seen the Matilda. So in this Matilda, it's a scary one?
No, I called her Evil Matilda because she...
You know, she got an award. She got a Tony honor for her performance in Matilda. So I thought that's
why.
You
lying.
Yeah. Baby works. Baby works.
Oh, wow.
You are so fucking with me, babe. You are fucking
I was like, oh, she moving shit with her mind. And then when she got... When something hit that window and everybody pushed but her.
Baby, when she cut that bird head off, I said, what the fuck is going on here?
I said, uh-uh. This Matilda's got evil powers.
But you know what? I had to look and see how old she was at the time of the movie. She was 15, 16 at the time of the movie. So old enough to be able to get, like, probably get therapy and stuff because maybe... Hollywood is better about that kind of stuff, but like also just to be talked to and through this process, because this was fucking freaky. I this was wild.
I literally watched this like halfway through, and then I think we texted each other and you were like, I haven't watched it yet, and I was like, okay, I'm only halfway through.
You needed a break.
I tried to eat, and then I remember that the scene where her fucking disembodied head.
Baby,
I said, "What the?" That was such an unnecessary scene, in my opinion.
If this movie wasn't Dare to Keep Your Kids Off Drugs, I don't know what the fuck it is. If you do drugs, you're gonna kill your sister in a car accident. You're gonna fucking behead her at a post. You don't bring evil spirits in the house if you ever smoke a joint. Because literally, Dare only stopped me from doing a couple of drugs. Some
Stop
of them. Dare had me scared of a couple of them, but the way that they described some of the other ones, I was like, that might be fun. What you mean? So like this one, just to tamper with, not to be like permanently involved. We don't go together. We just was singing together one time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So this is the movie that you do. It's not Reefer Madness. You don't get. Have you ever seen Reefer Madness?
No.
Reefer Madness.
It sounds funny.
It. When I tell you, I thought that it was a comedy until somebody broke it down to me that real life shit. This was like the original Dare to Keep a Kid Off of Drugs in like the 50s. Reefer Madness is literally a movie about how if you don't watch your kids, and if they smoke that wacky tobacco, that rolled cigarette that's green, they gonna be out there fucking Negroes and listening to jazz. When I tell
that's
you,
I'm trying to
fucking hilarious.
I'm trying not to laugh. That's not funny.
Yo, we gotta watch that movie. We're gonna put it in deliberately out of pocket because what? That movie, I thought it was a joke. Keeks.
That's a real movie?
It's a real movie.
No, you are lying to me.
They were really warning white America. Keep
your
white kids.
You smoke that devil lettuce, you gonna be listening to jazz.
Your daughter gonna come home with a swollen, pregnant belly and it's gonna be carrying a mulatto.
Oh my gosh.
When I tell you, I thought it was a joke. It is a real life thing. This should be the new shit. Implement it. Put it in your fucking seventh grade classroom. What?
I don't think it's Peter's fault though. Peter, I don't.
When mom and Peter had that argument at the table and he came back and said she didn't want to go, real shit. She didn't want to go. And I was confused about the age, whether he was in high school or college, because they were talking about smoking during a break. And most times, what break are you talking about during high school? Lunch? Okay. Maybe
Possibly.
the writing could have been better because you could have said during lunch, because what break do you have, right? So I was confused. But the fact that mom made Charlie attend was like, I immediately felt like, ah, triggered. They're like 7 years apart. Me and my sister are 7 years apart. There were definitely times that my sister came with me and I would be like, bro, she doesn't need to be in this environment. But it did keep me on my toes. Mind you, I value my sister. Charlie and Peter.
Okay, I think it's the family is fucked up, one. I just want to say that. But I feel like it is partly Annie's fault because she got that weird-ass hobby, which somebody's got to do it. Like, I'm not even...
That's her job. Somebody's got to...
Okay.
She gets paid for it. What does that do? What do you mean?
Dad's a psychologist, and she gets paid for it to an extent. Because why is you sitting there and making a little mini figurine of your daughter being beheaded? Like, no, bitch, you're using that to cope.
It was probably part of coping. And literally, Dad, who was played by Gabriel Byrne, Steve is like, boy, what the fuck is this? He had been chill for the most part. And then when he saw that, he kind of, you know, drew a line. You saw a different version of him, right? I didn't know that he was a psychologist until you just said it, which makes it interesting to me that he chose a woman who has the history that she has. Because
they tried to use the disability trope in this.
Very interesting. Her whole family has a lot going on, and her brother hung himself. So I think that if the whole thing was to try to get the kid that did the click, it wasn't her. So the brother was like, boy, something after me, and wasn't with it. So then it had to wait. And Charlie happened to be the one with the click, because at the end when they were like, we put you in the right body, I was like,
bitch, what? I was so confused.
I was very confused.
And I hate to be that person, because it's not just Annie's responsibility to hold her family together. Because, I mean, she has a whole husband. So it's y'all as a parent to hold the family
together. As a unit. Yeah.
But the way she uses the, because she was already, beginning of the movie, already, mourning for her mama because she just passed. So we got the mourning for the mama, that's you focused in on this little weird ass hobby. Like, again, somebody got to do it, not me. But like a job that just she's a workaholic. It's too much, in my opinion, because she's neglecting her kids. You would know if your son is in there taking breaks to smoke weed. You sat there and sent your kids away. And I didn't like the way she fucking blamed Peter. Because it was also just as much her fault as it was Peter's fault.
And she literally went up and was like, nobody takes responsibility. And I wonder if that had to do with her too. But she had an outlet where she spoke about feeling to blame. And then she changed it and said, I am to blame. So I wonder if there was a lack of accountability on her side too. And then when she started to take accountability, at this point, bitch, you look crazy. And nobody can trust you because you done led, you know.
She pissed me off with that. Because my thing is, like, I get that she's mourning and everything, because, like, now she's mourning Charlie and her mom, which I don't like how none of them communicate. Like, Charlie, can you tell your mama that you seen your grandma?
She didn't say anything about the apparitions that she was seeing early on either. I think it was very interesting that, so, again, as much as I was joking about, because I did not laugh in the car accident scene at all. I also was triggered because I've been in my own car accident, woke up in a hospital and didn't know what the fuck happened. So, and was hospitalized, not just like woke up there. I was there for weeks. So like there was some trigger to me. I didn't know that was going to come up, but the shock of her being beheaded, I had seen the sigil on the light post when they passed. I peeped. I saw it and I was definitely like, and because of the way that we're doing this now, I'm taking less notes. So I definitely just get to be like, jot that down real quick, come back. I saw it. When she hit that bitch, I said, that was that same fucking post that they passed. That was the same one. Mm-hmm. It had to have been because they passed going that direction and the sigil was facing us. Right. So it was on the other side. That meant it was on the other side of the road. When he took off like that in the car, my immediate reaction was, he just smoked. It's dark as fuck. Y'all in the mountains or the mountains or the desert, right? Mm-hmm. That's why I said Arizona, because the way that it kind of was, you know, New Mexico, it kind of felt Southwest. But like, I knew it wasn't going to be a safe thing. I was kind of upset with Charlie because I don't know what grade you in, but I know you know damn well you tasted those nuts on the first fucking bite.
And that's my thing too. Like, what, how old was Charlie supposed to be? 10?
I don't, 11. 11.
11. So he was 18. Okay, that makes sense. But you know what you're allergic to. Like,
and that didn't make any sense to me. Why carry an EpiPen? Why the fuck? This is multiple times that they have been out and about with this child who has a very severe allergic reaction to things. And you guys do not have an EpiPen. I felt like it was bad parenting all the fuck around. There's blanks to go everywhere. And the fact that as an 11-year-old, you don't want to go. You just go, okay, yeah, you're being sent out the house, but mom sent them out the house with fucking nothing because she isn't
at all. Mm-hmm.
I don't know where dad was to step in and be like, what the fuck? Why is Charlie going to this party with 18-year-olds? You realize there's going to be 18-year-olds there? Even when Peter was in the room and old girl had invited other people in, when he was like, somebody mentioned his sister being there. And some guy goes, is she hot? She's fucking 11. Bitch.
Yeah.
So.
It was so much. And I really hated that whole scene where she woke them up in the middle of the fucking night so she can contact Charlie. Like, ma'am, if you really wanted to help heal everybody, you could have just broached the topic and then did it. You are traumatizing your son who needs grief counseling for the fact that he killed his sister.
Why? Like, I tell you, so babe watched this with me because I wanted to, when I figured out it was a scary movie, I was like, well, I'm watching this at night. I want, let's get it. Because you know what season it is and you know I don't even fuck. Y'all are really about, you real live shit are getting a present for Christmas because I don't even fuck with this holiday like that. And we are working very close to Christmas. Mm-hmm. Most everybody that I listen to that outside of us is on break. But we're doing it. Out of love. Y'all gonna get a Christmas episode. Maybe two. Might get a submission.
Yeah.
You know? But like, realistically for me, I was like, ooh, everybody's over here fa-la-la-la. It's a bunch of songs I don't know. I have been put in positions multiple times in this season where I'm like, what song is this? And people think I'm playing. I'm not. Like, this is how I am. When I tell you I set the mood, I was in it. I enjoyed this movie in the way that I wasn't prepared at all. And part of why scary movies are fun for me and not scary is because of the fact that I can always predict what happens. They have a very, like, they have a similar formula. You can kind of follow it. You know what's going to happen. And because I spook easy, I like to say what's going to happen. And if I can call it, I don't get spooked. When I tell you, I was like, I was not spooked. This wasn't a scary movie for me. It was a psychological thriller. And the whole time, I was psychologically thrilled. I was like, oh, you couldn't even dodge that when it smacked me dead in my forehead. That's the type of movie that I want to watch. I like that.
It was very, it gave me that feeling, but afterwards I was like, what the fuck?
So what? Afterwards I definitely was like, why did we go through this? There was multiple times that I just was like, girl, what the fuck? And that was why my girl / what the fuck has 23 ticks. So most of any category, there were not enough questions being asked. I'm a question-asking person. What the fuck's up?
I'm looking at which one I have the most. Mine is now, ma'am, for 18.
Why?
Because what are we doing?
Because the black person, this is how you know, again, part of the reason why we did this podcast is because we were going to analyze movies. At first, it was going to be just black movies.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, first it was going to be old movies. And remember how we were like, yes. Old movies is subjective because 2018, for some people, that's what, 5 years ago? That's an old movie. I had never seen it before. So it was good with me. But some people, old movie. Then we were like, there's an old movie podcast out. Shout out to them. I don't know if y'all are good people. If not, take back my shout. Take it back. Shout in. Take that shout back in. But then it was like, okay, well, let's do black movies. Nah, black movies, black people know about black movies. And sometimes even then, the target audience is not black people. So we thought about that. And the fact that there are plenty of movies out there that Oscars are going to and all kinds of accolades and nods are going to that miss the audience for a good grip of people. So let's talk about all movies and talk about how we're not the target audience. For this not to be the target audience, the girl, what the fuck, and the now, ma'am, was so high because we weren't the target audience. There were questions not being asked. There were things that wouldn't have happened because It would have been us.
Look.
It'd be me. When that nigga called from school and had put his hand up in the Monica shot, now you about to stand like that for the whole rest of practice and started slamming his fucking face. Why did he go home and not into a check-in? He needed a 72-hour hold right then.
They needed an exorcist, and his mom was just sitting there painting her little figurines.
His daddy over here, a psychologist, not recognizing signs. It's not just that
mom. I'm about to say, look, it's all of them. It's your family is dysfunctional. Maybe fix that fucking shit first.
Maybe that's why it was a whole category. You know what I mean? We recognize that this wasn't the target audience, and even still, good movie.
It was. It was. Good movie. I don't know how I feel about the ending, but.
Because realistically, if you can't burn your baby's art book, burn the candle. Burn the whole fucking candle. Burn the paper that came with the seance instructions on it. Shoot Joan. What if, like...
Shoot Joan. Violent. Why? No, well, because I'm talking about the part where mom somehow got possessed and then she was beheaded. I said, what the fuck is this? She was beheaded, floated her ass up to the treehouse, and then there was mom and grandma beheaded.
Got me crying.
I'm done. I said, bitch, where's you going with no head?
She was laughing so hard.
How do you know where you're going?
When she was up in the corner in the said, oh my God, that was so funny. That's why I love scary movies, especially if you can get me this. I laughed hard. And when I was like, ooh, it was very much that emotion, right? But okay, Steve pissed me off when they called him and said that the grave had been desecrated and he didn't say shit. Because this was before Charlie was killed. So even though she's mourning and like you feel like, oh, she's going through a lot or whatever, this is also her mother's grave. And maybe you should say something. And she didn't say nothing about going to grief counseling. So now he's like, bitch, you was lying about the movies. You don't know that? You never asked me what movie I went to see? Ever. Not once.
They really didn't like each other. I don't... And it showed. It really showed. I was like, damn. Y'all live like this?
They did it. So let's be real. Let's be real. If you don't like your partner, just leave him. But you know what? They've been together forever. And at this point, he is... When she put your kids in danger the first time, when your kids woke up doused in paint thinner and she woke herself up with a match, at that point, you know.
There are steps to take to make sure that they are safe with this child again. And I don't think you took those steps.
I don't know that the steps were taken. None was taken. So there was a lot of blame, but I really, at the end, I was definitely thrown. I know for a fucking fact that they would have smelled that body a lot sooner if they were more present in the home and paying attention. And you know what I mean?
All them flies, like, you know you smelled that shit.
That was disgusting. I really felt like there was absolutely a point where, like, they did that for shock value or whatever, but it was like, okay, realistically, that has a smell, and there's no way that you just did not smell that.
Like, come on. Yeah. And the way Annie had a white savior complex, only I can be the one to save us, and she ended up throwing the fucking book in the fireplace. Well, and I don't know that how the husband got fucking, that shit pissed me off.
Because you know what, he's not related. So I wonder if I did think about that. I wondered if had he thrown it in, would he still have burned because he's not related? And also because to an extent she was the crazy one who had poured, you know what I'm saying? Like in the sense of she's done this before, if they needed to have some blame. But when her ass was up in the rafters hitting that stab.
What the fuck? That was wild. I forgot about that shit. That shit was wild.
Boy, when I looked up, I literally was like, yo, and it was her facial expression, the way she was looking at him. But then I realized she was beheading herself. Literally, because she was up there in the rafters, and then we had everybody down in prayer, you know, in the prayer position for they got right. And we had grandma old beheaded blackened body. And then there was the body in the dress. And I didn't realize who it was until I was like, oh, shit, that's the mom. Well, how come the mom ain't got no head? Because she was up in the rafters doing it to herself.
Wow. Okay, that solves a very big question. Because I was wondering how the hell she ended up beheaded.
Twisted. That shit was wrong. Because she got to get it. And that was because she had gotten through all of the major stuff. She, you know what I mean? Like, that shit was wild. Ari, are you okay?
Do you need a friend to talk to? Like, well, not me, but what? I can recommend somebody.
Listen, because I don't know if I want your secrets, but this is what I found out about Ari Aster. So he is a Nepo baby on the low, right? Maybe just a little bit. He, oh, wait, is it him? No. I'm sorry. It's Alex Wolf. Alex Wolf is who played Peter. I was worried about him, right? But his mom is an actress writer by the name of Polly Draper. His dad is a jazz pianist by the name of Michael Wolf. Maybe not a big deal, but I had seen something about like the book that came out about Trump when I was looking for research, and the writer's name was Michael Wolf. So I was like, oh shit, is that his dad? So I look it up. No, it's a whole different Michael Wolf. Apparently this W-O-L-F-F is a popular spelling, and of course Michael, right? But mm-hmm. his daddy was the band leader on the Arsenio Hall show from 1989 to 1994.
Mm. What kind of Naked Brother Band's Alex Wolf?
I don't know him from that, but research told me that, and I was like, okay, that's him. Him and his brother. So, you know, I just was like, blink if you're traumatized, babe, but he's still thriving, apparently. I don't know. I don't know. It just, this was fun. I definitely, when Peter first woke up and he went to go check and see what was going on, even with his face fucked up, when he saw, because he heard that little flitter, 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 and he saw that man in the corner, I said, who the fuck is that man, right? And then when his mama started chasing him, but she was getting it. I laughed.
Was so fucking funny, and I'm so sorry. The way it scared me, but also was funny as fuck. I said, damn.
I was like, Peter, run. I turned into Lois real fast, but that was so, because that youth, he was hitting it up them stairs. Boy, he was taking them like three at a time, trying to get the fuck away from her.
Because, ma'am, why?
Yo, her ass was moving, whoever the fuck. Whoever the stunt person was for that, or if it was a speed up, I don't know. That shit was funny. She was getting it up them stairs. But that, like, on the fucking attic door, she was going to take her head off by any means necessary. She was trying to get it. And I said, you know what? They got you right where they want you. Why would you go up the stairs and not outside?
Yes, because...
Listen, it's family. Hold on, we doing check-ins with family. But that shit was extra, extra funny. Extra. You were, listen, that's okay. We about done. What were the rest of your, let's go through categories. What were the rankings for your categories? Because you me.
Unsettling had 11. Damn, y'all dysfunctional. Maybe fix that first. Had 16. Oh, fuck no. Had 17. Now, ma'am had 18. LOL only had 4. Bitch Caller Exorcist had 15. All Right, Evil Matilda had 7. And The Usual Troops had 6. What were your ticks?
Okay, so My Girl with the Buck had 23. Nope had 9. Damn had 9. Oh My Fucking God had 10. And LOL had 3. I was very into this movie. And The Girl with the Fucks just meant that I did not expect it. And I liked it.
This was a good movie. I just, I wonder why you decided to make it. That's my thing. I just.
Questions?
They need answers, please.
I don't want them. I don't want them. We'd have to engage with Ari. We'd have to look further into him, and he's twisted. I don't know. If you said you don't want to do The Strange Thing About the Johnsons, then I don't know that we'll see him. Because Midsommar, and when we do a horror film again, we'll put Midsommar in, and maybe...
I can do Midsommar. I've just heard too many things about The Strange Things About the Johnsons. I'm not doing that.
The one thing that I do want to shout out the casting director, who Millie Shapiro is, was born with cleidocranodysostosis. I don't know how to say it. But it is a blood and skull. I mean, a blood and bone condition that affects the joints and stuff. So like the bones won't completely heal and form together. So her, her mom and her sister were all born with that. Her sister is Abby Monterey, who is an actress as well as a stuntwoman. So shout out to them for having people who looked different in this film and didn't villainize her. We see that so often, that the person with the disability is the one who gets to be the bad person. Mm-hmm. Yarly gets to be bad, but in Peter's body. So we could feel a way about that, but I'm not. I'm going to try not to.
And then they had that weird disability. Like the whole point of them being in a cult, which is the religious aspects that we have in scary movies, mm-hmm. is the fact that they come from a line of mentally ill people.
But was it mentally ill, or was it that
they were in a cult?
Was it that the men in the family were seeing some of the things that they had to do to maintain, and they had to kill them niggas off by any means necessary? Because the son hung himself. The dad, they diagnosed him with something, but literally he refused to eat anything anymore. Did you peep that when she went to Joni's house, she drank something and there was something in the tea? Mm-mm. She had to pick it off her lip. I said, what the fuck is that? So literally, maybe the dad was just like, nah, you're poisoning me. And it's through the food. Maybe the men who weren't related were peeping and they had, you know? Because why did Steve have to burn? Bitch, when Steve burned, I said, oh, shit.
That didn't make any sense to me. But I was like, okay, I guess if Charlie's dead, you don't need a husband. Listen, you don't even need a son.
Chicks, just replace the name. Steve gotta die.
This was wild.
It was.
Good job.
You know what I'm saying? That is what it's like. Question mark, question mark.
Good shit, but like,
My literal last note on the page is what in big ass caps?
Like, I don't like that. Good shit, but what?
What? So shout out to y'all, because I was not expecting. And shout out to you guys for listening. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays.
Happy New Year, because we don't know if we're going to be here for that.
We're going to give, maybe we'll give you guys 2 intermissions so that we can see you guys in the new year. It's only it's only 10 days away.
Oh, the new year? I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah. So we could drop to this episode of intermissions and have a break.
Yeah, because we got to do like New Year cleaning, New Year rituals. You guys, it got to be a good year. Because this year.
I don't know what y'all talking about with them grapes under the table, but if that.
But I'm definitely doing it. I don't care what you say.
They be getting smelling them green bad boys. They're going to be like, what is up? Grapes are not even in season.
Is there a specific color I'm supposed to do? Do they have to be seedlings?
I heard green for money.
Okay.
For, you know.
Because I was like, if I need to do purple and green, we're going to do 12.
Maybe I will do. Do I need to double up? Do I need to go by somebody's calendar year? Because I'll do that. If we're going by somebody else's month, because other people have more or less as month, what are we doing? I heard 12. I'm with 13. We can do 7. Where we at?
We can do 7.
All right, y'all.
Thanks for rocking with us, and we'll see you next time.
Until 2024.
Bye.
Bye.